It's an incredible campaign. I've told people that I actually think the campaign has made me a better father. And I don't know how many ad campaigns you can say that honestly have done that.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm Adam Stoker, your host, and my co-host Jordan Barker's here as well.
Hello.
And we are very excited for today's episode. We've got a guest today, a special guest from the state of Idaho. His name is Matt Borud, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about one of my favorite tourism campaigns that's ever been created. It's the 18 Summers campaign for Idaho. And Matt, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, thanks for coming on with us. We're excited to chat with you today. I think first of all, we want to just learn a little bit more about you. We have a question that we ask everyone that comes on our podcast. What is your dream destination? If you were to go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
That's a great question, because I kind of have to subdivide that, right? I've got my wife and now kids. And so, you know, what would we be doing that, you know, they would love? So, you know, my first thought would be something like Fiji or Bali, where we're all kind of water beach people. But got my second thought about this, and it's very, very selfish. But I'm an avid golfer, and I've got some family that we've gone on some incredible golf trips together. We did a trip to Southwest Ireland a couple of years ago, and my wife would kill me, but I would love to go to like Northern Ireland, Scotland, and you know, play another week or 10 days straight worth of golf, you know, where the game was invented. So for purposes here, if my wife ever listens, I'd love to take my wife to Fiji or Bali. That'd be the answer.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love to golf myself. I actually, yesterday was my birthday, and I spent all day. In fact, it was my first time ever golfing 36 holes in a day here in Utah. Have you golfed here in Utah at all?
Nice. No, I really haven't. I've played a lot of places, but haven't been down in Utah. Where were you playing?
So there's a city called Midway here in Utah, and they have some great courses. And my dad and brother and I went up and played a couple of the mountain courses up in Midway. One of them was Wasatch Mountain, and the other one was Crater Springs. And they were dynamite, man. We had a great time.
Do you want to share your scores with the listeners or no? Like, do we, how, yeah, yeah. What do we, how far do we want to go down this
I
rabbit?
Think we agreed.
I don't want to share mine.
Fair enough.
We agreed when we started this podcast that we wouldn't share any sensitive or confidential information.
Okay,
right?
All right.
I think that falls under that
That's
category.
That's probably fair. Yeah. Well played.
Agreed.
But Ireland, I can't imagine going to Ireland. That's crazy.
It was phenomenal. We played seven straight days. It was unbelievable. I mean, some of these courses, you know, we played a couple courses, Tralee and Lahinch, and I forget which one. I think it was Tralee was designed by Arnold Palmer, but when he finished designing it, his statement was, you know, I designed the front nine, God designed the back nine.
Oh, wow.
And it truly is. You're just in these hillsides and cliff sides and ocean views and the dunes and the rolling hills. It was, I couldn't recommend it more. It was absolute heaven.
Wow. Wow. I'm just moderately jealous. Yeah. Just moderately. Well, tell us a little bit about your story, Matt. Tell us how you got into tourism and a little bit about your role that you're in today.
You know, blind luck, and maybe the luckiest and best move that really could have ever happened in my career. 5 years ago, I was working for a fantastic little marketing automation software company here in Boise called Ballyhoo. And we helped national brands with distributed user bases, so groups that have really large co-op programs. So think like Aflac, they have 70,000 premier agents. Kohler has 20,000 premier dealer stores across the country. Ace Hardware, a big, you know, 5,500 store cooperative setup. So we'd work with the big national brand, kind of the corporate marketing team, and we would take their national level marketing creative, put it into our cloud-based software tool, web-based tool. And then what it would do is allow for customization. So if you own Adam's Home and Garden and you have 8 locations across, you know, the Wasatch Front, you could take your Kohler creative that's in the platform, customize it for how you want, you know, your sale or your imagery or your copy, whatever it is, and then go ahead and fulfill that marketing order or that advertising order. And so it was a great tool. Unfortunately, probably a little bit ahead of its time. I had been there for a little while and was kind of looking for another challenge, and was fortunate to meet some folks that were within the Department of Commerce, and we're looking for kind of a little different approach, a little bit more of a digital approach to kind of revamp Idaho Tourism's program. And so I was fortunate enough that the timing was right and, kind of met the right folks, and the opportunity presented itself, and it's maybe the best thing I've ever done 5 years ago. So my role, I oversee all of the Commerce Department's marketing and communication efforts. So tourism is probably the largest portion of that, but we do have some economic development responsibilities layered in there, in addition to some of our innovation initiatives, which generally take the form of some university industry grant partnership type programs. But tourism is ultimately probably my biggest passion. It was my biggest passion. I didn't know that I really ever had. I've always loved to travel. You're just so enriched by those travel experiences, and I've been fortunate to have many of them throughout my life, but just never really connected the dots to the travel and tourism industry until 5 years ago. And now I find myself, as one of the leaders of our program, and it's been a wild, fun, fantastic ride, and we're hoping for more good years ahead.
That's good stuff. So one of the things, my background is primarily on the corporate side, and my background is also digital marketing. And so I'm just curious to see, what has been your experience? Is there anything that translated from your past life, right, kind of in corporate America world, that you've taken with you into the tourism industry? And the reason I ask that is just, for me, it was definitely a bit of a mindset change that I needed to think about this industry. There was definitely some similarities, but there's also a lot of very different aspects to the tourism industry as opposed to, marketing a software, for example, the world that you came from. So can you talk to us a little bit about that? Anything that translated from your past life, or how do you think about the tourism industry differently from, what you had done up to that point?
Yeah, it's a great question, because, in my previous job, my actual responsibilities were more on the B2B side of things, making sure that our clients were happy and were utilizing our software to the fullest. But what you would end up finding yourselves doing is, you really couldn't do that without getting ingrained in their campaigns and getting ingrained in how they were using our software and understanding what their campaign goals were and the consumers that they were subsequently trying to reach. And so while my direct responsibility wasn't a consumer marketing type role, I had exposure to some of the best marketers in the world, really. I mean, the Kohler brand is an iconic brand. Aflac, New Balance, Wendy's, just some incredible organizations that our company was fortunate to serve and that I had the opportunity to observe. You picked up on a lot of that. So it is very, very different. I think that the biggest thing that I've taken, where really the paths cross very tightly, is just in kind of cooperative marketing principles. For Idaho, we don't have huge budgets at any level, whether we're at a state, regional, local community level. And so what we're always looking for are what are really smart ways that we can build a co-op, we can bring you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 partners together in a way that we all put a little bit of money into this and we can benefit all of us. And I think that's more where I think I saw a lot of real effective corporate type marketing programs through my previous experience. And it's been, you know, one of the initiatives that we've just tried to continue to build on with our partners to get more private investment and then leverage public dollars further.
Very cool. Very cool. So you were able to bring the ability to get multiple parties involved over to the tourism office and benefit that way, huh?
Yeah, it's been, you know, I it's been, it's obviously everything we do, it's a collective kind of team effort. And I think more or less what we've really wanted to do in that sense is, particularly with our communities and local partners, we have a lot of organizations that are run by volunteers, and they're selfless. They love their communities. They understand the value that it brings to their local businesses. And these are, like, you know, they're chamber volunteers. I mean, they're just some of the best people you'd ever want to meet. And, you know, it's through no fault of their own. They've got their own day jobs and their own families, and then they're, you know, volunteering to you know, partner in our programs. You know, so where we can bring some expertise and some strategy to say, you know, let's take a look at these digital partners, and let's take a look at co-oping in this way. And here's how the state can be helpful for you when you're going to private partners in your community. And let's see if we can organize a little bit of money here to, you know, elevate kind of all of our visibility. And by bringing a little bit more of the media recommendations or ways that we can strategically make it more efficient and effective for them, they've really been able to run with it and kind of turn some of those programs into, you know, into kind of what they are now.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I think we'll shift gears just a little bit. I'm worried that the takeaway from this podcast is going to be Adam's just super jealous of Matt. Like, that'll be like the takeaway. But I, you know, Idaho is a special, special place for me. And, you know, I told you my family is from Idaho. And my dad introduced me when I was 12 years old to a fishing hole up in Island Park that he had been going to for, you know, 30 years, I think. And you know, we go every year without fail, and we'll go fish there. It's a pretty special place. It's the type of place where, you know, I remember one time we were at a gas station just outside of Island Park, and the guy that was working there said, "Well, where do you guys fish?" And I started to give him directions, and my dad punched me, you know?
Yep.
And so
definitely
we Idaho, you know, it's got a kind of a special place in my heart. So I think it's awesome. You get to participate in the tourism advertising specifically for Idaho. I want to talk about the 18 Summers campaign because I have kids. You mentioned you have kids, right? Jordan, I know you've got,
yes,
you've got kids. And it just, I mean, you have 18 summers and then they're gone, right? Not many ad campaigns have made me cry, but the first time I saw the 18 summers campaign, I was like, dang, those guys, they got me, you know? So
yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that campaign, the origin of it, and maybe what your experience has been like being involved in that campaign.
It's an incredible campaign. I echo your sentiment 100%. I've told people that I actually think the campaign has made me a better father. And I don't know how many ad campaigns you can say that honestly have done that. But we have a 3-year-old and then we have a 7-week-old. And, you know, we were last summer, we were everywhere camping with our then 2-year-old, getting her outside, getting a fishing pole in her hands, you know, getting her on one of those Strider bikes and campfires and marshmallows, and we were all over the place. And we hear a lot of those stories from people, and it means the world to us. I wish, you know, that I could take credit for it, or that the folks in our office could take credit for it, but 100% of the credit goes to our ad agency, Drake Cooper. Drake Cooper has been a partner of ours for, I want to say upwards of 30 years. They're an incredible ad agency here in Boise. And, you know, that campaign, It's funny, actually. When I joined the department in February of 2014, the department had just finished an RFP for agency services, and Drake Cooper had won the bid, and they were the contract holder previously. And so when I stepped in to, you know, literally my first week on the job, was understanding that, hey, this RFP was completed, this bid was signed, sealed, and delivered, and we're just going to continue working with the ad agency we had been working with. They won the bid. Problem is, we haven't done any work on our prime season campaign because of this bid process. And so this is February, and looking at it now, we launch our prime season campaign literally the Monday after the Super Bowl. And I'm starting this job the Monday after the Super Bowl, and we haven't done any work on any of this. And so we're thinking, man, like, we got to get in gear here. We got to get rolling. And so my third day on the job, we went over to Drake Cooper, and they said, hey, we know we've got to get moving on this. We've kind of banked a few ideas. We want to get everybody's feeling. And then let's get producing, let's get going. And so we sat down, and the first idea they pitched us was 18 Summers, and they had a little video associated with it. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, you know, this is my third day on the job. I don't really know a lot about this, but I think this is really good. I know enough to be dangerous right now, but I think this might be the winner. And you know, there's not a dry eye in the room. We're all kind of, it really just hit us. Wow. So we ran with it, and you know, so it's, again, I can't credit Drake Cooper enough for that. They really were the ones that brought the idea to the table, and then it's just been a great partnership kind of going forward as we've really explored and expanded what 18 Summers can mean. Because I think where you wrestle with this a little bit as parents and then to a degree as advertisers is, you know, you don't really conceptualize the fact that there's always next summer or there's next month. And what we really wanted to do was quantify time and put some guardrails around the fact that and to kind of punch you emotionally a little bit to say, you know, actually, you know, this there is a limited amount of time, and very soon, faster than you think, there won't be a next summer when they're little and when they're in that spirit of exploration and learning. And you know, with your kids, I'm sure, I mean, I feel it with mine, there's absolutely nothing better than seeing my daughter experience something for the first time and her eyes light up and just have a blast. And travel affords you those experiences. And so we've been incredibly fortunate to have been able to bring the campaign to life. It's something that we're passionate about. We love it, and we're always kind of exploring ways that we can reinvent it and keep it moving forward, because it is all about family travel. Family travel in Idaho is enormous to us. But you know, family means a lot of different things. It isn't just mom, dad, brother, sister. It's grandpa, grandma, it's aunts and uncles. It's close friends and neighbors. And it really just kind of becomes about, you know, making sure you're spending these valuable years adventuring with your family. And you know, we took a little bit of criticism right off the bat because we didn't really explicitly tie it back to Idaho. We didn't really tie it back to a location. We just kind of, you know, we sort of left it out there as, you know, you have 18 summers, and the premise always was, you know, just go vacation. You only have a short amount of time with your family. We sure hope you do it in Idaho, but just go get out there and take a vacation with your family. And, you know, I think that a lot of folks have kind of come around to that idea that, you know, hey, we don't have to just list a bunch of Idaho locations here on this. We certainly shoot everything in Idaho, and we feature incredible Idaho destinations. And we're always talking about ways to adventure in Idaho. But really the theme is, just go adventure with your family while everyone's young and spirited.
I love that. I love that. And I actually want to come back and touch on that in just a moment. I one of the interesting things that you talked about was your relationship with your agency, right? I've actually spoken with Jamie Cooper up at Drake Cooper, and he talked about how you guys and the agency have been partners since 1981.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking, holy cow, how do they keep such a great partnership and relationship for that many years? It's a pretty unique dynamic, right, between you guys and that agency?
It really is. I mean, it's we are an extension of them, and they are an extension of us. It's more family. I mean, we talk a lot about within our commerce department and our tourism department. We're a very close-knit group here. We're a small team, very nimble, very responsive to one another, and they're very similar. Our tourism program started in 1981. I actually want to say the ad agency began working with the department in 1978. Wow. So I think it's almost a 31-year relationship. And I always feel kind of bad when I run into colleagues at national tourism events and they're talking about, you know, I got to hop on the plane to go to Chicago or New York or LA or wherever to go meet with my agency. And folks will say, well, who's your agency? God, I love your guys' work. And we'll tell them, you know, Drake Cooper. And where are they located? Well, they're in Boise. It's a 15-minute walk from my office down to their office. And it's just, you know, it's just an unbelievable setup. But Jamie is first class. He's as good as it gets. Their founder and other namesake, Bill Drake, is one of the godfathers of tourism in Idaho. I mean, if you're going to have a Mount Rushmore of Idaho tourism, Bill Drake's face is in the center. And their team is just talented, innovative, creative. They know our business. It's a great partnership. We're very grateful.
That's really good stuff. Can you talk a little bit? I mean, obviously, you know, most of the listeners, if you aren't familiar with the 18 Summers campaign, you should definitely go check it out. Can you talk a little bit to the success of the campaign and how you guys kind of think about what makes a campaign successful? How you, at the end of the day, when you take a step back and you say, yep, this worked, what does success look like for you guys? And was there like a moment where you said, yeah, this absolutely is working, or this is resonating with our audience? Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm kind of a numbers guy. And so, we tie back ultimately kind of the success of our campaign to our lodging tax collections. Our whole efforts are funded through a dedicated 2% lodging tax on all hotel, motel, B&B, private campground, private RV parks, vacation rental properties across the state. So like many other state programs, we're funded that way. So we're always looking at, month over month, year over year, how are our collections doing? And we've been fortunate that ever since we launched the campaign, the year after we launched the campaign, we were up 13.4% in collections over the year prior. The next year, we were up 12.2% over the year prior. The following year, we were up 11.2% over the year prior. And this year, we're up 10.13% over the prior year. So since we've been running the campaign, we've been up double digits year over year, four straight years in our collections reporting. So that's, kind of the end all be all benchmark for us. And then we certainly look at, I think that, that when you go back to your original premise of defining success and kind of when did we know we hit something here, just the immediate feedback we got from people that, was right along the lines of Adam, what you had said earlier. I mean, people that were like, I saw this ad for the first time and I was in tears. Seeing Idahoans share our social posts, that are 18 Summers related with kind of their heartfelt messages or their messages of how this idea, positively impacted their family to go take a vacation, or, certainly responses from other colleagues in the industry, saying, God, I wish we had come up with that idea. There's only a few ideas out there that I've ever said, I wish I had that idea. And 18 Summers is one of them. So it's just that kind of feedback loop that we've been so fortunate to receive over the last few years from people who the campaign really, really resonated emotionally with them. And, as a small destination surrounded by incredible marketers, we've got to hit people in a unique way. And this campaign has really done that for us. So from the numbers perspective, it's been great. I mean, our occupancy rates, our average daily rates, all those, you know, lodging metrics are very, very positive. We've been in the midst of just explosive tourism industry growth. So, you know, I know the campaign has played, a small part there. But just the feedback that we regularly receive from people, that really is kind of the icing on the cake for us.
That makes sense. I think the numbers speak for themselves, right? I mean, some of the success that you guys have had there. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that are destination marketers. And as they listen to you speak about the campaign, you know, they're salivating at some of the numbers that you just mentioned there. And, you know, they would love nothing more than to see those types of results for their destination. If you were to give some advice, on how they could replicate something or a campaign of this magnitude, either through the process that, you know, with your agency, you know, what would you say to them? What advice would you give them, to be able to do something that's been this powerful and this impactful?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've been asked this before, and I don't think I've ever given a very good answer. I think what it ties back to for us, and I don't want this to sound buzzwordy or, you know, generic, but the campaign is authentically Idaho. And so what I would advise anyone who's, you know, in destination marketing, you see these joke videos, you know, about destination marketers that, like, we have all of it. We have fine dining, we have beaches, we have amusement parks, we have bikes, we have smiling people running down the street. And it's just more and more and more layer and layer and layer of, we have it all. We have this, we have that, we have something for everyone. And, you know, I think you've got to get away from that. And, you know, you've got to run as fast and as far as you possibly can in the other direction. And what we've done with 18 Summers and really just all of our, you know, sort of collective effort is to really try to identify what is authentic to Idaho and family travel. You've got to research these things. It's not enough to just kind of anecdotally, you know, wet your finger and stick it in the air and say, I think this is the way we should go. I mean, we put a lot of dollars and a lot of effort into research so that we know who our travelers are. And we know, you know, we have a pretty dang good idea what is bringing people to Idaho. And then looking at kind of your competitive landscape and where is there a gap? Where do you have an opportunity to be authentically yourself, where you're reaching a strong number of people with a propensity for your product in a way that that maybe you can differentiate yourself from your client, from your competition? And family travel has kind of been that niche for us. And it's flattering when we see other states or other destinations kind of start coming in there and sort of, you know, trying to get in on our corner a little bit. But it's a tough question because, in destination marketing, you've got a number of stakeholders. You've got a lot of stakeholders. You've got a lot of public partners and private partners, and they all want and deserve to be represented. And you know, you've got to figure out a way that sort of, I think, elevates your message above that, that is inspiring, more about inspiration than information, and inspires in an authentic way, authentically in terms of how, I guess, just, you know, for what your destination is, what your community is.
Yeah, you know, you've touched on several points there. I've got a couple of follow-up questions from that. One of the things that you mentioned is, instead of showing every single activity or attraction that's within a destination, that you focused on inspiration, not information, right? I look at it a little bit like, if you're marketing a product, it's so tempting to just talk about all the features that your product has, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to the benefits that you get from using the product. And when I look at a tourism destination, I would say your features are all the biking and hiking and fishing and all the different things that there are to do, or all the different places that there are to visit, right? But the benefit doesn't change. And I think when you're looking at how to convince someone to take action as a buyer, whether it's to buy a product or whether it's to visit a destination or take their family somewhere, how are we communicating to them that their life is going to be affected by this purchase decision, right? And so tell me a little bit about how you guys, and maybe I'm gonna touch on the stakeholder piece here too, because every stakeholder wants their hotel represented or their, I know you guys have Bear World up there and then you've got Island Park and then you mm-hmm. got, so everybody wants you to mention them, right? But you just said that based on this campaign, you're double digits every year that you guys have been up, and all you talk about is the benefits, right? So tell me a little bit about how you were able to get that cleared by all the stakeholders that wanted a piece or a mention in the campaign, and then how you guys were able to focus on benefits as opposed to the features of your destination.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great tactical question. I wouldn't say that we're actually even finished with it. You know, it's an ongoing process. It's been 5+ years, and you know, we really, I would say I'm fortunate here to be. You know, it isn't. I inherited. I joined this organization that was a very, very healthy organization already with a number of great partnerships, dating back decades. And so, we at Idaho Tourism had at that time a lot of, I think we've got a lot of cachet built up, I would say, with those partners. And so we were, we were able to sort of ask them to trust us a little bit on this. And it certainly helps when you have a campaign as powerful as 18 Summers to say, this is what we want to do. And, we realize this is maybe a little different approach than in the past, but, we haven't let you down before. And, this is, we're thinking this is the right direction. And so a lot of it was trust. And then, certainly seeing the results has certainly helped everyone. And I think it took us a little while to sort of explain to folks but even we needed to sort of see the proof in the pudding a little bit to say that this would work, that it isn't about, listing your business on the website. It's about inspiring people to travel to Idaho, and they are going to find you. And if we can inspire enough people, if we can reach enough eyeballs with our product, they are going to find you. And so, I think a lot of those partners really did have to take a bit of a leap of faith with us. And then we've tried to turn around and make this, we try to provide as many practical, tangible resources as we can. So whether that's like itinerary generation, we have a tool on our website called the backpack. So you can save adventures and you can save ideas in your backpack. So you can go back later and as you're kind of coordinating and planning your visit and your itinerary. And so, we just wanted to make sure those folks understood that, hey, we were going to be sticking with kind of this overarching message, but all of our tools, whether website tools or itineraries, are going to have your information available there. And if we do this right and we inspire enough people, you're going to see that rising tide is going to lift all ships, and you're going to see the uptick. And we're fortunate that it has really worked out that way. But I do think that there is room in the equation for both. The example we always kind of say, in whether it's with our agency or kind of internally, we always talk about a mom in Tacoma. She's our general target. We're looking at, we've got a mom in Tacoma who's got a couple of kids, and does this help our mom in Tacoma take her kids on the rafting trip that she wants to take them on this summer? So we can inspire her to say, this is summer number 12, 10, and 7, and I'm not going to miss that rafting trip this summer. I'm doing it. And if our website can provide, the itinerary ideas or the list of resources for her to then, make that adventure accessible, that's sort of the magic formula for where we've seen most success.
Yeah, I like that. How does a lot of the destinations that we talk to, they talk about, they have different methodologies around how they think about campaigns and specifically campaign duration. And so one thing I'm curious is how is your office thinking about, you know, this campaign? A lot of the destinations that we'll talk to, they think about campaigns either by season or, mm-hmm. you know, they'll have an annual campaign. And then, you know, they're constantly coming up with the next idea, the next idea, the next idea. How does your office think about this campaign? And, you know, if you were to speak to other destinations out there, and I'm sure it's going to vary, obviously, depending on the destination, right? So I'm asking kind of a difficult question broadly, but for a very specific, you know, application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how do you guys think about this campaign, and when should a destination consider rebooting their theme, and how should they think about that?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, for 18 summers, we've talked about this in the last couple of years, and you know, maybe it's a blessing in disguise, but we don't have a huge media budget. We are vastly, vastly outspent by our neighbors in Oregon and Utah, and then, you know, to a lesser degree, Montana and Wyoming. So, you know, as we've kind of looked at the saturation of 18 summers, we know from the impressions that we're buying digitally or that we're receiving broadcast or through other media that, you know, we really have not overly saturated, our target market with this message. And we've continually kind of seen new and increased response year over year. So I think that, you know, when we will retire 18 summers when we feel like we have saturated our target market with the message and we're not seeing the response at a level we would like to. I think we'll then look at, is there another idea out there? What's the next step? What's the next phase for us? That would be my recommendation to other folks who are kind of thinking about that. We break down our campaigns. We have our prime season campaign. It's our summer campaign that 18 summers is our flagship there. We run that from the first part of February through really actually through August. I mean, we've started seeing in the last couple of years that the campaign has even had success for kind of those last minute planners. And we actually sort of we purposefully kind of ratchet up the emotion in our ad copy so that, you know, at the beginning of, you know, the ads that are running, you know, kind of February, March, April, when you're in a little bit more planning and dreaming phase, they're a little more aspirational, a little bit more dreamy. When we get into May, June, July, we're kind of into, you know, the time is now, you know, book your travel. And then when we get into August, you know, maybe late July, August, even into September, you know, we start getting into, you know, don't miss another summer, you know, don't blow it kind of a thing. And, you know, really trying to kind of tug on heartstrings there. And, you know, we've seen late season travel and, you know, pretty good spikes in activity there. So that campaign, our prime season campaign, like I said, runs through that August, September-ish timeframe. And then, you know, we've recently launched a fall campaign that's a little bit shorter where we're kind of more focused on harvest, culinary experiences, and then our winter campaign gets started in the fall as well. And that's geared toward, you know, winter outdoor sports. And we run that through, you know, generally through January, depending on snow, maybe get in a little bit into February, but we've kind of slowly been pulling our campaigns to start them earlier. You know, we when we're doing prime season campaign in February, some of our winter partners weren't necessarily thrilled to see us. You know, hey, there's still snow on the ground and they've still got maybe a month, month and a half of really good skiing left. We don't want to see you guys advertising summer yet, but we're turning around and saying, you know, hey, we're pushing winter, you know, in October now. And, you know, trying to get that message out for them a little sooner than we otherwise have before. But it's a moving target, and it's, you know, as much as you can, you know, base it on data and research and numbers, and then, you know, trial and error, it's kind of you just kind of hope you get it right and stick with it when you do.
I think what I love about what you guys have done is with your seasonal campaigns and the way that you start to get a little bit more aggressive about missing the summer in the late season is you guys have found a way to add urgency to tourism and travel when it's very difficult to say, you need to book your trip now, right? Because in a lot of cases, it's, well, I mean, it's not like Island Park is going anywhere. And I'm going back to Island Park, yeah. right? Because that's where I've been. But Island Park will be there next year, right? And you guys have found a way to, once again, pull on that emotion and say, the time is now. You guys have to book this trip now, or you've missed a summer and you've only got 17 more, you know, or, you know, depending on the age of the kids, a whole lot less than that. So I love what you guys have done there. Matt, I don't know if you've noticed, but we could probably talk about this with you for hours. We're just nerding out on tourism marketing right now. And I appreciate all the insight that you've given our listeners, that you've given us. I think I could probably schedule five more episodes to talk about this, but I think we probably ought to wrap up for as far as this episode goes. And I really want to just boil it down and simplify it a little bit for some of our listeners. If you could just tell any destination or any tourism related business one tip that's going to help them drastically improve their marketing or their efforts in marketing, what would you say? What advice would you give them?
You know, I would go back to the question you had asked a little bit earlier, and I would work diligently to identify what is truly unique and authentic about your destination. And you may not think that's the coolest thing in the world, but I guarantee you there are a lot of people out there that do. And when you travel, you're opening your mind, you're opening your spirit up to new experiences. And so you may think no one is going to come here no one would ever want to come here to do X, Y, or Z. But for a traveler, that may be exactly what they would love to spend that afternoon doing. I read this really interesting article just a couple weekends ago that was, from like a Hartford, Connecticut newspaper. And the guy was talking about, you know, Connecticut's upcoming tourism campaign, and you know, he wasn't overly complimentary of what he was seeing, and you know, part of his message was, you know, this is an area that has incredible history of you know, spy history during the Revolutionary War. They have an incredible history of poetry and poets writing just epic work while in that area. And then, you know, you wouldn't know it, but they have some of the best pizza in the country. I mean, Frank Sinatra used to send drivers up to Connecticut to get pizza from Hartford because it was the best pizza out there. You know, they tell stories about Steven Spielberg and others doing the same thing. And this guy's point was, you know, we can try to compete with destinations that have beaches or things like that, but, you know, we probably don't stack up there. Why don't we focus on our history of spies, pizza, and our poetry? And I couldn't help agree with it. You know, I think you can kind of get back into this litany of, we have all these different things that are the same as all these other destinations. But when you step back and say, what really makes us unique? What's authentic and what's just, you know, kind of a cool story, even if you may not think it's cool, I guarantee there are a lot of other people out there that do. And when it is authentic to your destination, travelers are going to see that, and it's going to resonate, and it's going to be an experience that they can't get anywhere else. And I think that's ultimately what we're striving to do as destination marketers, is provide this unbelievable experience that you can't get anywhere else. And, you know, but that it's challenging to identify that, but I would really say to make those hard decisions and really try to focus on what's authentic to your area.
I think that's great advice. And I, you know, it's funny when you're the one that's in the weeds, I guess, or the one that's in the moment, it's really easy to kind of get sick of your own story, especially if you've been telling it for a long time, right? Yep. But I think your point is well made, that when people are hearing that story for the first time, and if you have a limited budget, a limited media buy, you know, chances are people are not hearing that story as much as you think they are. I think it's a great point to watch for those diminishing returns and then maybe consider making a drastic change or something like that, but to focus on the center of what you're really good at, what makes you unique, and focus on that. I think that's great advice. So thank you very much, Matt.
Absolutely. That's easier said than done. But I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Great. Great. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. Like I said, I think you've given our listeners great advice here. I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a LinkedIn group called Destination Marketers. We're going to be sharing our podcast episodes on that LinkedIn group. And it's also a place for tourism marketers to collaborate, to interface with each other, maybe share challenges or successes, and then collaborate on a solution together. We're excited about that. We're getting more users every day added to that group and hoping to continue to grow that and help each other grow together. Once again, this has been Matt Berude from the state of Idaho, and we're talking about the 18 Summers campaign today. Really appreciate Matt joining us today. This has been the Destination Marketing Podcast with Adam Stoker and Jordan Barker, and we'll talk to you soon.